Well, good morning. I want to welcome each one here this morning, and I too want to thank everyone for the cards, gifts that was given. Hated to miss out on it, but yeah, we do count it a privilege to be able to serve here and to be a part of the family here at church. This morning, I'm not sure if I should preach or not, but maybe this sermon is for me and no one else needs it, but the title of my sermon this morning is Empathy, and it seems from hearing people talk this morning that there's lots of empathy going around here from what Mark shared and Wesley shared, but I'm going to go ahead and preach anyhow. But maybe we'll have the kids come forward, and the kids want to sit up here. We'll do a little children's class before we get started. It's been a while since the children have been up here. You want to sit right here, over here? Sit up on this front bench right here. Go ahead. This morning, I'm going to tell you a story about a man who was walking. And he was walking from one town to the next. And as he was walking, robbers set upon him, thieves. And you know what they did? They jumped on him, and they beat him, and they kicked him, and they took all of his money, and they took all of his clothes. And they threw him in a ditch, and he was half dead, the Bible says. And they left him there. That wasn't very good, was it? But guess what happened? Along came a priest. You know what a priest is? Kind of like a preacher. And the preacher comes, surely the preacher's going to help him, right? And the preacher comes walking along, and he sees this guy laying in the ditch. And he looks over at him, sees that he's hurt, but man, he's got other things to do, and so he walks on by and leaves him laying in the ditch. This guy's dying. He's hurt. He can't help himself. The next one to come is a Levite. He's a person that's high up in the church as well. And what does he do? He walks over and he's like, "Ooh, that guy is bloody. If I go over there and help him, I'm going to have to wash my hands and my clothes and everything." They had lots of laws back then that if you touched somebody that was bloody, you had to do all kinds of things. He didn't want to deal with that. He kind of looked at him. He walked on by. And the next guy came, and he was a dirty Samaritan. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans. They looked down on him. They were horrible people, they thought. But the Samaritan, you know what he did? He looked at him, and he seen him bleeding, and he walked over there to him, and he wiped the blood off of him. He took stuff off of his own donkey, and he bandaged him up, and he poured oil on him, and he cleaned his wounds up. He picked him up, and he put him on his donkey. And he carried him to an inn, like a motel. And he spent the night there with him, helping him, cleaning his wounds. And in the morning he had to go on, and he told the innkeeper, he said, "I'm going to give you some money." So he gave him money to take care of him, and he said, "If it costs any more than this when I come back, I will pay you more." And that man showed kindness, right? and showed empathy. You know, there's a difference between empathy and sympathy. Who knows what sympathy is? Anybody know what sympathy is? No? Sympathy is when Mark broke his arm, people felt sorry for him, right? So they called him. You feel sorry for him that his arm is broke. Sorry about your arm. But empathy goes much, much deeper. Empathy says, you know what? Mark's arm is broke. I really, really feel bad for Mark that his arm is broke. And I'm going to try to help him any way I can help him. Not just feeling sorry for him. Anybody can feel sorry for him. But empathy is what that Samaritan had. You know, the first two people, they could have felt sorry that the guy was in the ditch, but they didn't do anything about it. Empathy is when we help someone out that needs help. Empathy is, sometimes it's messy. You know, the good Samaritan, he probably got blood on him. Who likes to get blood on you? Someone else's blood. No, I don't like that. Maybe there's some doctors or nurses that like it. But I don't like it. You don't like it either, no. In fact, sometimes if I get a little woozy sometimes when I see blood. But this Samaritan, he didn't care about that. He wanted to make sure that this guy was okay. And so he took him home, took him to an inn, and bandaged him up and took care of him. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to not just feel sorry for somebody, but he wants us to be there and to show his love. And that's what the Samaritan did. Maybe he wasn't a Christian, but he showed God's love by taking care of him. So that's my little story for this morning. You can go back now. Empathy says the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. Sometimes we don't understand why people act the way they do. We look at them and we go, why are they doing what they're doing? Can't you see that they would be much better off if you did this? When you look at it from the outside, it seems really easy. But when you look at the inside, when you look at what that person may be going through in their life, you begin to understand why they are, why they act, why they respond the way that they do. If you have empathy, you're going to get dirty. The Good Samaritan, I'm sure, got bloody. Cost him money. It cost him time. But he's not going to get back. It's not easy having empathy sometimes. It gets in our way. And we have busy schedules, busy lives that we don't want to take time out to help someone else. But I believe that empathy is what God is calling us to. I'm going to go ahead and read this account here in Luke 10, verse 25 to 37. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Now this lawyer, he was trying to get out of helping people. But God has called us to help everyone. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter if it's someone who lives right next door to you. That's what we think of when we think of a neighbor. But God is calling us to love each person as we love ourselves. Each person you come in contact with, God is calling us to love each one. And sometimes it gets messy. Sometimes people hide their failures, their fears. I read a humorous story of a man who was sitting there drinking a milkshake. Or he was sitting there with his milkshake in front of him. And a biker came up beside him and grabbed his milkshake and drank it. And the guy began to cry. And the biker said, what's the matter with you, sissy? Why are you crying? He said, well, I was late for work this morning for a meeting. And he said, it was a new job and my boss fired me. And he said, I went down to the parking lot to get in my car. He said, my car was stolen. He said, I don't have any insurance on it. And so I lost my car. My girlfriend just broke up with me. And I'm losing my house that I had to live in. He said, so I came here and I ordered a milkshake and I was going to have one last milkshake. And I poured the poison in it and I was just working the nerve up to drink it. He said, how's your day going? You never know what someone is going through. Maybe they look like they have it all together. But you never know what their day was like. You never know. You might be that one spark, that one light that asks, how's your day? And not just asking in passing. It's so easy to say, how are you? How many of us truly say, I'm fine, when we're not fine? How many times do you think people say, I'm fine, when they're not fine? Taking the time. I was reminded somewhat of empathy when I thought of my golf game that I had last weekend. The first tee box, we hit two golf balls off the first tee. And I play army golf sometimes, left, right, left, right, left, right, where you march, you know. And I hit the first one and it went left. And I hit the second one and it went right. And as I went looking for my golf balls, in the spot where I thought mine should be, there were several others. Someone else has the same game that I have. Someone else has struggles too. I can empathize with what they're going through. My golf ball's in the same woods that theirs was. In fact, I don't think I found mine, but I found theirs. Maybe mine is worse. But that's what we're called to do. Job, in Job 2, starting in verse 7, and we'll read through 13. It says, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. This is after he had lost his children and his property. Now he is losing his health. Painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a pot sherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? Shall we not accept adversity? And all this Job did not sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each came from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept. And each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. These friends of Job's, we know that later on they had bad advice for him, but they also had empathy for him. They came, and they saw Job sitting in the ashes, in the trash pile. And they came and they wept for him. And they sat with him in the middle of the ash pile for 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him. That's empathy. To be able to go to someone and say to them, you know what? I don't know what you're going through maybe, but I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to sit with you. I'm going to do what I can. Ecclesiastes 4. Verses 9 to 12. Says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. If you're by yourself, life can be hard. It says, if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone, for when he falls... he has no one to help him up. I can testify to this a little bit. The other day I needed help. I learned a valuable lesson the other day. I was working and I was nailing off the floor plate on the wall. And my hose caught on something as going through the door, and I reached back and I grabbed hold of the hose and I pulled it to me, and suddenly I needed help. Because as I pulled the hose to me, I learned that you don't always hold the safety in, the trigger in on your gun all the time. You know, those guns are made that you're supposed to push down and then squeeze the trigger, push down, so you can't shoot yourself accidentally. But if you also hold the trigger in, you can go like this and nail really fast. Well, I had the trigger held in, and when I pulled the air hose, I pulled it and promptly nailed the air hose to my hand. And I was stuck. And luckily there was several guys that came running quite quickly and cut me free from the nail hose. And we went in and pulled the nail out and bandaged it back up and went back to work. But I needed help. By myself, I would have struggled quite a bit. But because there was people around to help, it went much better. Two are better than one. Sometimes we're the one that falls, and we need help getting up. Sometimes a brother falls, a sister falls, and they need help getting up. We need to be there for them. As I thought of weeping, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, Jeremiah 8, verses 19 through 1, verse 9 of chapter 9, says, I would comfort myself in sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country Is it not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why had they provoked me to anger with their carved images, with foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Jeremiah had been prophesying to them, had been trying to get them to turn from their wicked ways, and they wouldn't do it. And yet, he wept for them because of what they were going through. So how do we know what to do? How can we? What do we do when we see somebody in need? What do we do? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. We have to pray. If we want people to come into our lives to help, we have to be open to this. We have to be ready for it. We have to be willing to see the need. You know, how many times in our lives do we walk by people and we look at them and we see maybe they need some help? Or maybe it's someone you know that maybe you think, you know what, they may be struggling. But you walk on by because you don't have the time and you don't know what to do. I think if we live a life of prayer, pray without ceasing. No, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Know the will of God. Know what Christ wants for you. Know how you can help. Be open. Ask God to help you see the need. It's not easy. Colossians 3, 12 through 14 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It's not easy. It says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Those things don't come natural. Don't come easy. Some people have, it's easier maybe than others. But it's something we have to make a conscious effort to do. Put on these tender mercies, compassion. Ephesians 4, verse 32 to 5, verse 2, it says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God and as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering of sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. It says to walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Verse 32 says to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. So many times we have things in our lives that get in the way. We need to get those things out of the way so that we can be effective in what we do. Another verse is 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. What does that mean, be of one mind? What is this one mind that it says? Philippians 2. also talks about being of one mind. 2 verses 1, I'll read all the way down to 11. It says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. It says again, being like-minded, having the same love. What is this same love? What is this like-minded? Being of one accord, of one mind. And it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of the others. That good Samaritan was not looking out for his own interests. The priest and the Levite were most definitely looking out for their own interests. They esteemed themselves better than the other. They thought, you know what? I don't have time. If I touch that man, I'm going to be unclean. I'm better than that. That's not what God's called us to do. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Whatever that may be. Whether it's the time to sit and talk to somebody. Maybe somebody needs a friend. Verse 5 said that let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here's that mind again. But now we find out we want to be had the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He didn't consider it something that he could attain to be equal with God. Didn't consider himself equal with his Father. But made of himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and those on the earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That mind that was in Christ. And as I think about that mind that's in Christ, the people that he helped, the woman with the issue of blood, the lady caught in adultery, the woman at the well in Samaria, the man laying beside the pool in the Bethesda, the little boy, little girl dying that he brought back from the dead. Compassion, love, that's the mind of Christ. He took the time to heal those. He took the time to be a friend to the sinners. It says he did not come to heal. He came to heal the sick. Those are the ones that need him. That's who needs us. That is the mind of Christ. To let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. If you think you're better than someone else, you won't have time for that guy laying there beat up, robbed, beaten, dying, half dead. Because it's just not something you're going to be able to do. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And the last scripture I have is Christ was on the cross. Luke 23, verse 34 says, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided their garments and cast lots. Even on the cross, in his dying words, he still cared about the people who were killing him, who were crucifying him. And he wanted them to be able to get forgiveness. He asked his Father to forgive them. How many of us, when we're in the middle of something, ask for forgiveness for someone that's hurting us? And like Kevin said this morning, those missionaries in Haiti, we'd love to see the members of our armed forces, as our human nature would be to go in there and to get those people out. They don't deserve to die. They don't deserve to be held captive. But if they do that, there are surely Haitians that are going to die that don't know Christ as their Savior. And that's not a pleasant thought to think about, because our human nature wants those people who are don't deserve to be in that position to be set free. We want that. But we serve a mighty God. And so many times, the odds were against the Israelites, and God delivered them. I believe God can deliver those people without our army, without bloodshed. I believe that. We serve a mighty God. Empathy, the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. Put yourself in someone else's shoes. It's not easy to do. We'd rather keep walking by. Because like the Levite and the priest, we've got things to do. Let's be that Samaritan this week. As we go about our week, we come in contact with people. Take the time. Ask them how they are, how they're doing. Pray with them. I have one song that Jeremy's going to play for us, and then I'll get back up and close.
Says, ma'am, you're short of dime. So she tries to find her credit card instead. But her trembling hands spill the purse. She can hear the other customers as they sigh and grumble, all their patience spent. But you see, she buried her 10-year-old son just last week. And she's shaken from the inside out, overwhelmed with grief. You never know. Holds the steering wheel tight as it can be, leaning forward, fear written on his face. When a pickup truck with an angry horn goes flying by, kicking up a storm, just to let him know this is the first time that he's fat on the nerve to drive. Since that rainy night, he's spun out of control and lost his wife. You never know.
So, Stan, you never know what someone's going through. John 13, verse 35 says, "By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another, one to another." That's what God has called us to do. He's called us to love. That's what I implore you to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another beautiful day you've blessed us with. Father, we thank you for sunshine, you woke us up to this morning, the cool fall air, the change in the seasons. Father, we thank you for that. And today we think of the missionaries who are being held hostage in Haiti. Father, we think of their captors. Father, I pray that you would be with them. Father, I pray that you would speak to them through these missionaries that are being held. Father, I pray that you would intervene in a mighty way. Father, we know that you delivered your people so many times. There were times when there was angels, chariots all around surrounding Israel. We know that you led the children of Israel through the desert and you protected them through many, many trials. Part of the Red Sea, the Jordan, many miracles that happened. Something like this is simple. So, Father, I pray that you would be with them. Father, I pray that they would have a change of heart. I pray for the nation of Haiti as well, that it would seek you, that it would the unrest would come to an end. Father, for the other missionaries that are there who are scared to go out, for fear of being captured as well, Father, I pray that you would be with them. I pray that you would just be with these missionaries again that are captured. I pray that they would be delivered home safe, if it's not against your will. Father, I pray that you give them peace in the midst of the storm that they're going through. I ask that you would be with each one of us here today. Father, I pray that you would be with us as we go from here. Father, I pray that we would live a life that would point others to you. Father, I pray that you would help us to have compassion, to be tenderhearted, and to have that mind which was in you, that mind of love, compassion, and Father, I pray that you would help us to prepare our lives in a way that we would be able to see the needs and to be able to help. Father, I pray that you would just be with each one of us. I ask that you would just go with us from here. Watch over us, protect us this week. Give us a good day today. Father, pray for the service tonight, that you would just be with us and give us an enjoyable time being together and fellowshipping and learning about you. Just go with us and keep us. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be dismissed.